Thanks so much for tuning into the Rage Student Ministries podcast. Here's one of the current messages from our youth group, and I hope that it speaks to you. It's easy to find one that will compromise, but it's not easy to find one that's willing to stand. We'll go to hell, that's why. But to heaven, it's a one way, one truth, one life. That's why we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus. So in the book of Revelations, there is the biblical account, and it gives us a picture into the very throne room of heaven, and it explains the very floor is like a sea of glass filled with colors that we don't even have here in this earth. And there is this great throne that the Lord God Almighty sits on. It says that there are four living creatures that surround this throne, surrounded by 24 elders, and then the rest of heaven, the rest of all eternity, is encompassing this room. And it says the four living creatures, it says they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And when this happens, it says the 24 elders fall, not kneel down, fall on their face, casting down their crowns before a holy God, because he has just revealed his glory. And all of heaven erupts into praise. You hear the angels saying, "Holy are you, Lord. Holy are you." And then it says that the earth, the fact that you are sucking air right now, is a testimony to God's holiness. All of the earth cries back and says, "Holy are you, God. Holy are you." This isn't a timid form of worship. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, declaring his glory. It is heaven meeting the very throne room of earth. And it has happened in this place tonight, because God wants to meet with you. The holy God of all creation has brought you into his throne room so you could worship him. Someone needs to say amen. Come on. That is incredible. That is incredible. That's what this song is saying. That is what you are crying out before the one who has created you. Man. Holy are you, God. You are so holy, Lord. We just praise your name. We praise you, God. We know, Lord, you don't change. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are so faithful, Lord. You are so loving. The very fact that you would invite us into your presence, Lord, is a miracle in itself. Because we know that we've fallen so short of your standards. And a God as holy as you offered himself on the form of a cross, just so we could enter into his throne room, so we could spend an eternity praising you, spending time with you, worshiping you, and being in perfect communion, perfect relationship with you, Lord. Father, we are not worthy, but we know you are worthy, Lord. It's with grateful hearts that we are here to praise you tonight. And Lord, don't let this worship end now. Holy Spirit, keep moving and keep working in our hearts. Keep revealing new areas and new aspects of your character, just like you do in the throne room, through your words tonight, through the altars, Lord. It's such a powerful feeling of your presence in here. Lord, we are not worthy, but we know that you are. We thank you for giving us right standing with you, Father. We just praise you, Lord.
Can you give him your praise tonight? Lord, we just thank you that there are people who spend their entire lives, who waste their entire lives searching this world for an experience like we just had. Lord, we know that nothing in this world measures up to what it feels like to be in your presence. And Lord, we just praise you for that tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to travel to mountaintops. We don't have to go to the far ends of the earth to meet with you. But Lord, we know that you're here. We praise you, Lord, for you are truly good. You are the one true King. The one true King, Lord. We praise your holy name, God. It is our great honor and our great privilege to just worship in your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you for ministering to us. Jesus, thank you for allowing us the honor to worship you, for offering your life to give us this privilege, Lord. We praise you in this place. We praise you in this place, Lord. And all the church said, amen and amen. Man, if that don't get you excited, you ain't got a pulse. Stand on up, hug on some people, say, I am excited that you are here. And it has been my honor to worship with you tonight. Give it up for the worship team. Bringing it. Was good. So we have some connection groups here tonight. Are the Tigresses in the room? The WFC, are you here? All right. Collision. Collision's not here. All right. Stump Squad. Her Majesty. And Legend. All right. Wouldn't it be awesome? I think Stump Squad's doing this. I was going to say, it would be awesome if you guys, like, sit together as connection groups. Can we take a minute? Can we take a minute and do that? How awesome would that be? Let's take a minute and do that. Just find your connection group. Do it up.
We need Legend! Legend!
So from the quiet, short-haired man in the front, Legend is right here. The WFC is over here. Stump Squad is already, like, gathered. So you got the WFC. WFC, they're all over there. I don't know what you guys are doing. Awesome. I love it. I love it. All right, so Shane's been helping us out. Shane does not have a connection group. So Shane will go to whatever connection group's going to scream the loudest for him, and he's going to judge that. And we have a winner. This is Shane Awesome. Good for Shane. The guy's a genius on the drums. It's great. So we have been in a series called Greater. Yes. Greater. Greater is about living a greater existence than you are experiencing now. It is about moments like you just experienced in worship because you're just seeking the face of the Lord. You're just going after it with everything you have. And, you know, it's approaching pretty quickly here. The most wonderful time of the year. Oh, yes. Halloween up. It's not Halloween. It's not Christmas. It's not school. It is not my birthday, contrary to popular belief. You know what? That is probably right. Jesus' birthday probably is the most wonderful time of the year. But there's a close second. If we could hit the lights and just kind of take a peek at the screen. See, we got a video for you.
At the end of this play, out near midfield, Matt will throw. Separation. Oh, big hit. Sanders gets walloped by McLeod. Penalty marker on the play.
Now McLeod came over, and they're going to say he hit a defenseless receiver trying to break up this pass.
Emmanuel Sanders is down.
Well, he got hit, rocked there by McLeod. Let's see if McLeod leads with his helmet to helmet here. Now he leads with his shoulder. Now the question is, why does the official have his hat off? That usually signifies that the receiver stepped out of bounds and was the first to touch the ball coming back inbounds, as Sanders was. And there is a flag down along the Broncos sideline.
There are multiple fouls in the play, both against the defense.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is football season. All right. Football season is upon us. It is the preseason right now. 3 more weeks and it kicks off, man. I am so pumped. So I have a friend of mine who says you can split the year into 2 seasons. There's football season and then waiting for football season. And I totally agree with that. So I love football. I think one of the coolest things about it is some of the hard hits. The one you just seen was probably the hardest hit of last season by far. Emmanuel Sanders, one of the best receivers in the league, got rocked. Didn't even see it coming. But in all of the awesomeness of this hit, it's really easy to miss a few different things going on. So you've seen, if you look there, all of a sudden there's like a hat on his stomach. You're like, what in the world? Receiver, or the ref throws a hat down. A lot of times this symbols the possibility of an out-of-bounds receiver. Flags were thrown, penalties, or something wrong with the play. And when the referees can't figure out what happened from their perspectives, it goes to review. And so they said, oh, this play is going under review. You hear that? So under review in football means that the play needs to be studied from a few different angles by professionals to really determine what just happened. Every scoring play goes under review to make sure it was legitimate, which is an awesome thing, and that's why baseball will never measure up to football. A review is defined as a formal assessment with the intention of changing an outcome if necessary. A formal assessment. So looking over something with the possibility, the intention of changing it if need be. Now, they can make the determination to overturn a play, to bring time back on the clock, to give yards back, to give points, to say, yes, that was a goal. No, it wasn't. A play that maybe had been deemed dead, they can breathe life and resurrect it back. There's different perspectives that can reveal what the truth really was in that play just from looking at a few different angles. There have been entire championships that have been changed because of a play that went under review. And now from the outward of this video, they're saying, oh, this looks like an illegal hit on a defenseless receiver. I remember seeing this. I remember being so upset. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because I'm from Colorado, and so the Broncos are my team. Love them or hate them, I really don't care, because I like them. So, just saying. I remember being so upset, and you can hear in that audio, that video, you can hear the boo of the crowd, like, boo, yeah, they're all upset about it. And then something else happens. We didn't have the clip. I apologize for the quality of it. It's hard to find that. But right after that, you know, you get the referee that comes out, and he's like, turns this thing on, and then he says, upon further review, and you realize everything can change in that moment. And so on this play, from the different angles, they seen that it wasn't an illegal hit. He was in bounds. He wasn't considered a defenseless receiver. Now, the player who hit Emmanuel Sanders received an unnecessary roughness penalty, and Emmanuel Sanders received a concussion, so he probably got the short end of the stick. But it changed the outcome from, like, a game suspension to, like, all right, this is a little bit different. Because a different perspective was given on this play. And now we've all got times in our lives where maybe we take a hard hit or two. We just get rocked by something. It's got you down for the count. Your head's spinning. And all of a sudden, there's this thing in your life maybe seems dead or it seems unusable. It seems like there's not as much hope for it. And just like the plays in the football game, if you allow that to come under review, you'll see something different. You'll see something different in your life. What seems like certainty now under review doesn't always mean that it was truth. You see what the real truth was. But there's something that you need to know is no matter what your perception is, what you perceive will be your perceived truth. You need to allow the circumstances of your life to come under review to get the absolute truth. You know, improper perspectives will leave you feeling hindered. It'll prevent you from reaching a full greater potential in your life. Maybe it's something like you're called to share God's word with people in your school, but a speech in one of your classes went horribly wrong. You like threw up all over the floor and then wet yourself. And you're like, I never want to go in front of people ever again. Maybe that's hindering the call of what God's asking you to do. Maybe it's missions, but you are scared to death to fly and you really don't like tarantulas. So you're like, I think I'll just go to Canada. Okay, Canada needs Jesus too, it's true. But what if God calls you to a place like Malaysia? Is your improper perspective going to prevent you from going? Now, God wants to use you powerfully this school year, but are you going to let your improper perspectives hold you back from that? Will you allow the dead areas of your life, the things that have had some hard hits, come under review so God can use them? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for what's been an incredible night so far. You are so amazing, Lord, and if it started off this great, we're just excited to see what else you have for us. And so, Father, be with us, speak to our hearts, and we just pray the anointing over your word, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, which I know all of you do, get out your Bible, get out your notebooks, turn to 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, Greater has been following the life of Elisha. He's one of the greatest prophets in all of history. And here we find Elisha's nation in turmoil. There's some major things going on. So 2 Kings chapter 3, you realize that they're in a time of war. And what you find is that these armies of Israel, they're marching out to battle. They get out there 7 days of marching, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, we just ran out of water. Water's kind of important. I don't know if you've realized that. Those who have been to Atlanta or Costa Rica, you understand how important water can be because you sweat a lot. Now, imagine being 6'4", 280, in full metal combat gear carrying heavy equipment in the high heat. And imagine how much more important water would probably be in that time. Can you imagine? I bet you these guys smelled great. I'll bet you. Victory! Can you imagine having to do their laundry? Their socks. They're like, here you go. Wore those for a month. Oh, man. That'd be some wicked, wicked stuff. So, you see, they run out of water, and the king of Israel decides to send for Elisha. He's like, I don't know what to do. We don't want to be defeated in this. So he sends for Elisha to ask God to intercede on their behalf. Now, how many times in your life do you feel like this? You're on like this victory march. You're like, I got this. Going out to fight for Jesus. Or you're like, I'm living a greater. I'm going to go to Taco Bell. And then all of a sudden, something rocks you. You hit a dry patch. You end up in some form of trouble. You're stranded. You feel discouraged. You feel defeated. You suddenly feel like this mission you were going out on maybe isn't so great after all. The king called out to Elisha to call on God for him. Doesn't it feel good to know that we can call in the name of Jesus when we hit dry patches, when we feel like we're discouraged or there's something seemingly inevitable for defeat in front of us? When the hard hits of life come, we can cry out to Jesus. We don't have to go to somebody else to do it for us. We can go right into the throne room and say, Jesus, I need your help. I need your help. All right, so 2 Kings 3, verses 16 through 18. King shows up. He sends his messenger. Some cool things that happen there. Read it when you get home because you'll love it. In verse 16, we see that Elisha cries out to God on their behalf. And this is what the Lord says. I will fill this valley with pools of water. For this is what the Lord says. You will neither see wind or rain. You'll neither see that. Yet this valley will be filled with water, and you and your cattle and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He'll also give you into the hands of Moab. Give Moab into your hands. So Elisha sends up this circumstance before the throne room of heaven for review. God comes back. He's like, ah, it's an easy call. It's an easy fix. Easy? Really? Okay. Last I checked, death and dehydration were a very serious thing, because that is the difference between, like, living the rest of your life and not. But when you serve a God who has already defeated death, who holds the keys of death in his hands, who reigns victorious over it, it's not a big deal. It's an easy thing for God. And then he goes a step further. He says, well, if this isn't impossible enough, I'm not only going to answer this prayer, but I'm going to do it in a non-typical way. I'm going to do it without bringing rain. And now we see, like, okay, God, you're totally awesome. But in this, we see a little bit of faith needs to be exercised. So in verse 16, it says, I will fill this valley with pools of water. Most of your translations probably say something to that effect, right? Unless you have the New King James or the King James, you're not going to quite get exactly what that's getting at. So the Hebraic root words, the base language context for this verse to be translated into, says to make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. Are you getting this? Make this valley full of ditches. He's saying, there's not ditches here. Go out and make some. Go out and dig. You're dying of dehydration and combat gear. Go out and dig some trenches. And by the way, I'm not going to let it rain. There's an element of faith here. Are you guys getting this? He's saying, dig a trench system to channel the water that I will not bring until tomorrow, and I won't bring it through rain. Do you trust the Lord? Because this right here is a test of faith. You're dying. You're dehydrated. No rain is coming. Hey, get up and spend the last bit of energy you have digging a trench for no rain. Nothing is too small for God. God calls us to remain faithful through the dead things in our lives while he works out the life for it at the end. So the dead things that you face, God's saying have faith through it and I'll work it out for you. And it requires a great faith to continue trusting in things that seem dead, in things that seem hopeless. God is not limited by the impossible in your life. Instead, he creates a new possible through it. He's not limited by the impossible in your life. He creates a new possible through it. I want you to get that. See, God's perspective was different from what the Israelite army saw. Up in his booth, he's looking at it. It's under review. They saw death and defeat. God saw victory and longevity. So what situations in your life do you need to come under review? Will you trust the everlasting God with the things in your life that are faltering? Will you give the dead in your life that needs review over to the creator of life, the one who brings the water? Because God's perspective is far greater than yours. And we see here that God had a bigger plan than just to give them water, just to make them go out and dig some trenches. He had a far greater plan than all of this. Series is called Greater after all, right? Verse 20 through 24. It says the next morning, so they're out, they're digging trenches like all day, all night. They get this thing done. The next morning, about the time for offering and sacrifice it was, there was water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. So God fulfills his promise. Isn't that awesome? Now all the Moabites had heard that the kings had come to fight against them. So every man, young and old, who could bear arms was called up and stationed on the border. When they got up in the early morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites across the way, the water looked red like blood. That's blood, they said. The kings must have fought and slaughtered each other. Now to the plunder, Moab. When the Moabites came upon the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them, and they fled. And the Israelites invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. So what you see, this great army is assembled for destruction of the Israelites. Sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings. I just love it. And all night, no rain comes.
but we see that God shows up because in the morning there's water. These trenches they dig are full. And it just shows God does not always show up in the way that we think he would. We think, oh, God, we need water. Oh, I'll bring some rain. God's not limited by things that seem impossible here in the earth. But check this out. So the enemy, they live in the same area. They know there's not any rain. They know there's no rain, and they look out, and they see, you know, some form of liquid. They're like, man, it looks like it's red. The only explanation in their mind, because there's no rain, they must have killed each other. A great, can you imagine the size of this army to think, like, pools are filled with blood down here? Oh, my goodness. It's totally like Lord of the Rings, I'm telling you. Verse 24 shows us Israel reigns victorious because God took a dead situation and made it alive. He took what seemed like them marching into a battle with no water and dehydration, a death march, and brought fresh life into it. He brought something impossible to give water during a drought to the Israelites because they were willing to be obedient to what he told them to do. No rain had come yet, but dig the trenches. Dig the trenches. Do it in faith. God took it under review, and he changed the expected outcome. But the perception the Israelites had was completely wrong. They weren't looking at it from a heavenly perspective, from the upstairs box perception. They were looking at it from, here is the issue I am directly in. Right now, perception. The story isn't about water. It's about the faithfulness of God, allowing him to bring review to the dead things in your life, the situations that seem impossible, the problems from your past that just seem too bad for God to ever really be able to use. So what things in your life will you give to Jesus and allow him to bring under review? What things in your life will you let Jesus bring into review? Now imagine the heavenly perceptions that God has that we're missing out on here because we're viewing it through an earthly limited perspective. Send it up for review. Let God breathe fresh life into those issues. See, God will use the things in your life that seem dead, that seem dry, that seem hopeless, that seem too far gone. And he'll use them for greatness. He will use them in your call to greater, for amazing things. For amazing things. Will you allow Jesus to bring it under review? Maybe it's something like a relationship that's fallen apart. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's some friends that you have or a relationship you got into you knew you shouldn't have been in. It fell apart. You've got a lot of hurts. You've got a lot of things going on inside of you that feel like they're just too far dead for fresh life to be breathed into them. God can heal your heart. Those relationships with your parents, he can mend. And that relationship you shouldn't have been in with that girl or that guy, God can use that to share with somebody else to not make the same mistake you did. He can use the things that seem long dead for purpose. Maybe you can't find a job. I've heard this. You're like 11 years old. I want to give a speed light. Nobody hire me. You feel like this is a dead thing. You want to make some money. Maybe you're going to college and you're like, I got to get a car. Whatever these things are, it seems like just a lost cause. Offer it up to God. Let him provide. See, we got some heavenly music right here. God's like, I'm here. Yes. Offer me your cell phone. Will you let him bring these issues under review? Maybe it's just poor choices you've made in your past. There's things that you're not proud of. There's things that other people know that you did that you're not proud of. And you're saying, how could I ever say? So maybe it's those poor choices that you've made in your life. And you look at these things and you say, man, if I tell somebody that I believe in Jesus, they're never going to see somebody who's a Christian. They're just going to see a hypocrite. Let that be a testimony to the saving grace that God has given you in your life. Let him take the long, dead things and use it to help others. Maybe it's that calling that you've been running from. God's asking you to reach that friend or to start that Bible study at your school. To step out in boldness. Don't run from it. If you run from it, it'll die. But if you seek after it, God will breathe fresh life into it. Remember, I heard this quote. I just love it. It said, remember that God is too faithful to waste your faith. too wise to make mistakes, too loving to disregard you. You getting that? God is too faithful to waste your faith. He didn't waste the Israelites' faith when they dug the trench. He provided the water. He's too wise to make mistakes. You are not a mistake. Your life is not a mistake. The things God has spoken into you were not mistakes. It says he's too loving to disregard you. God will never cast you to the side. A lot of times we picture him on this throne and he just doesn't give two craps about us. That's not accurate at all. God is a loving God who wants relationship with you. He is too loving to push you to the side. That's why he offered his life for you. Will you allow him to bring your life forward?